Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Well, if China was to ever report that their economy grew by only 2.3% year on year, at least for an entire year, that would usually be seen or as a lackluster and dismal figure. But during the time of COVID, creating or generating any amount of growth is seen as an impressive feat and also testament to how strongly China has rebounded in the second half of 2020 in terms of an economic recovery. However, with the sign of rising COVID-19 infections, not just across the world, but also in certain parts of China also, will this growth actually be undermined? And what will this mean for some of China's, some countries that consider China a major trading partner, such as Singapore, which also just released the recent non-oil domestic exports numbers today? As you can tell, it's been a very busy Monday in terms of on the macro front. And to help us sort out all of this data and what it will mean for markets and the global economy moving forward, we're joined today by Mr. Jeff Ng on Money FM 89.3. He's a senior treasury strategist and an economist at HL Bank. He's here with us to help us make sense or to tell us how he makes sense of the data that was just dumped on us from both mainland China and here in Singapore. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still in good health in these very uncertain times. And welcome to the show. Happy New Year, sir.
Yes, good evening. Thank you, JB.
All right. So, Jeff, okay. So, look, when you look at these numbers, 2.3%, I think everyone was wondering whether or not China's strong economic recovery last year would lead to some full-year growth. And it seems it has. 2.3%, which, given the extraordinary circumstance of 2020, was probably very remarkable, actually. And also on the back of plus 6% year-on-year growth in the fourth quarter. Can you talk to us about what you made of these numbers and how much of this was predicated on the strong performance, at least, in the second half and even the fourth quarter of 2020? Is this the final confirmation we need to know that China's economy might actually be back already or back on track?
Yes, indeed. I think if we look at the performance that's been displayed by China for the fourth quarter, it came in at 6.5% year-on-year. It's the fastest pace of growth since the last quarter of 2018, and that's during the early stages of the trade war. Now, we've seen in the performance that China's growth has been supported by both the domestic sectors as well as from exports. So I think it overall shows the support that China managed to get in a pandemic-stricken year, where many other economies are still suffering from the COVID-19 pandemic and their factories may not be open, but China's factories continue to be open as the pandemic continues to be much contained there. So I think that helped China to register a very strong performance in the last quarter. And I think it does bode well for 2021 as China's growth is likely to be above trend. And I believe that it could be close to double digits in 2021.
Yeah, and then, of course, this was accompanied by those December figures where we saw that blistering industrial production numbers. However, we did see retail sales miss expectations just a touch or just underwhelm a bit, and fixed asset investment also coming in fairly tepid for the most part. On one hand, it might be seen as China reverting away from their efforts to rebalance the economy towards a domestic driven economy or consumption driven economy and back to the old playbook, the things that really worked for them, industrial production, industrial activity. Do you think that this is a fair assessment of what happened in China last year? And if this will continue, at least to be the next drivers for China as they try to find more stability for this for the world's second largest economy?
Yes, indeed. I think if we look at the performances so far over the past year, 2020, the manufacturing sector has been outperforming. And we can see that, for instance, in the industrial production figures, which grew by 7.3% year-on-year in December as well, better than expectations, in contrast to, I think, some other indices like fixed asset investment, which came off a little bit. And I think retail sales was slightly disappointing as well. I think in the coming months, I think the positive side is that we have the Lunar New Year ahead. I think that should help to boost a little bit of consumer spending in the months ahead. And I think if you look at some of the breakdown in terms of the December retail sales as well, it still looks pretty much resilient despite the tapered performance. Because I think if you look at the spending, consumers continue to spend in communication products, tech products, also in household electronics and household items as well. So I think going forward, we could still continue to see this consumer-led growth for China in 2021, although it's still happening at a sort of like a gradual pace compared to, say, industrial production, which has been above expectations so far.
Right. Okay. And then it's interesting you mentioned the Chinese New Year holiday, or the Lunar New Year holiday. It's coming up. I believe it's roughly a month away. But if we recall, the Lunar New Year holiday of 2020 was seen by some as arguably the trigger point for that outbreak of COVID-19 infections. And now we're seeing signs of rising infections across parts of China, Hebei, Heilongjiang, for instance, some areas there getting placed under small lockdowns, or a few cities there actually. How crucial is containing this outbreak going to be for sustainable recovery in the mainland, especially since we're a month away from the Chinese New Year holiday? And could that Lunar New Year holiday, where we see people traveling around China, could that actually pose more risk given the fact that we've seen more elevated cases of COVID now in China, and maybe even a rising potential in terms for a possible outbreak that could weigh on the economy?
I think if we have seen the situation in many major economies, places, geographies, countries, they are not immune to a COVID-19 resurgence because of the fact that people do travel and sometimes restrictions are relaxed and cases come back. So I think the risk is always there. I think the few good factors is that one, I think the immunization drive is already underway in China and many other economies, even though the percentage of people getting immunized is still below, around 3% according to the latest estimates. But at the same time, I think generally people and authorities are better equipped to handle this pandemic by introducing all the various measures like social distancing and wearing of masks. And I think as long as this continued to be well regulated, the downside risk could be pretty contained, even though the risk is always there that there could be more resurgence. And we have already seen them, like what you mentioned, in some parts of China.
Right. We're still speaking to Jeff Ong, Senior Treasury Strategist over at HL Bank here on Money FM 89.3, to make sense of two major data releases today. One was China's big data dump with their GDP numbers coming out. And here in Singapore, the non-oil domestic exports that was released for the month of December. And Jeff, talk about a surprise. Closer to home, we saw December's non-oil exports here in Singapore actually jump 6.8%. Now, apparently this beat, or this outperformed, the expectations of many economists. Are you one of those economists that was fairly surprised by how well Singapore's non-oil exports did in that month, especially since we came off of that November figure that showed signs of shakiness actually for Singapore's export space? What did you make of the numbers?
Yes, JP, I think it was a pleasant surprise on my side, because I was expecting a small decrease on a year-on-year basis. But I think the positive performance from Singapore mainly was supported by the non-oil domestic exports to the US and also part of Asia, even though I think there were some pullbacks from that to China as well as the part of Europe as well. I think overall, it's still a very volatile looking number if you look at the performance month by month. But I think overall, several factors still keep us optimistic of the overall trend. I think one is that China and rest of Asia continues to be the center of growth at the moment, as many economies continue to struggle with GDP growth. And at the same time, I think some of these major economies are starting to see their vaccination programs start to kick in as well. So I think fundamentals will slowly and gradually improve between now and end of the year. And that's going to be a positive for Singapore, which is a very trade-open economy. It definitely needs support from most of its major trading partners from the West and from Asia in order to see very strong performance in exports.
Right. And it's a very strong and very encouraging number to kick off the month of 2021. The fact that we saw that that outperformance in terms of NODX here in Singapore. So how is this impacting your outlook for the Singaporean economy in 2021? Are we in for a potential rebound this year? And as you mentioned, given it's such an open economy, how dependent or how reliant is Singapore's economic trajectory going to be on how well some of our major trading partners like China and the United States or even Malaysia actually fare moving forward? Because as we've seen, they've handled, and the results for how they've handled COVID-19 and their economic rebounds have been fairly mixed. how dependent is our economic outlook going to be on how well these trading partners do?
Yes, absolutely. And our GDP forecast for 2021 for Singapore is 6.3%. And that's indeed very high if you compare to, say, the past 10 years average, which sometimes you don't even see reaching 3-4%. So I think it's a symptom that, after a very bad year where GDP growth fell by more than 5%, we are likely to see a very strong rebound this year. But that's only inflated by the fact that, last year's performance was terrible. I think going forward, there's still likely to be a very diverse and K-shaped kind of recovery where we see, some economies, some sectors are still doing quite okay, like manufacturing and modern services. I think some sectors like the domestic-oriented ones are likely to perform in line as the vaccination rates in Singapore improve and as activity levels, start to increase further from phase three, going from strength to strength. I think like what you mentioned, what the key swing factor for me and what, Singapore can't really control is the externally oriented services sectors. I think these include like aviation and, sea transport to some extent, also tourism and food and accommodation. Because a lot of this, I think, depends on how well this pandemic is going to be contained in the rest of the world. And how fast is the world going to recover from this pandemic? If everything is done well and everything goes well, both for Singapore as the world economy, I think I see potential upside risk to my GDP growth forecast. It could even go up to 7 or 8% if things go well. But I think, of course, if on the flip side we see a resurgence in cases in Singapore or also in other places, the fear is that growth may be disappointing as we struggle to even reach the growth level in 2019. So yeah, I think definitely being a very trade open economy, we're definitely very vulnerable to such global shifts.
All right, and very quickly, Jeff, I do want to get your thoughts now on the recent steepening of the Treasury yield curve. I do know that you now carry the title of Treasury Specialist as well, so I'm sure you have some thoughts on this. This economic rebound that everybody's pricing in is leading to some believing that there will be a reflationary period that'll happen sooner rather than later here in across the globe, and has also led to the recent steepening of the yield curve, actually. As an economist and Treasury Specialist who's monitoring all these movements, is there odds of a potential reflation trade really in the cards? And if so, how are you folks at HL preparing for possible opportunities and risks for this yield curve? Basically, how are you adjusting your positions and your strategy based on the recent steepening of the yield curve or, dare I say it, normalization of that yield curve?
Indeed. I think if we look at, for instance, the US rate expectations, currently, I think since March of 2020, what happened was that people weren't expecting rate hikes to happen until, let's say, 2023. But I think as of 1-2 months, I think expectations have climbed that they may start to taper a bit of their quantitative easing program sooner than expected. So that led to, I think, some increases in terms of the US in interest rates. Overall, I think the Fed is still likely to still commit to maintaining its accommodative policy, especially when you see that the labor market has deteriorated slightly over the past month. And also as the COVID-19 stages a resurgence in the US. So I believe that I think near term, there's a lot of volatility and market fears. But I think as the trend turns clearer, we could still continue to see continued support. I think that should flatten a little bit of the curve once again and reduce a bit of the concerns in terms of how the Fed is going to make any movements, because for them, they have mentioned a lot since last year that they are prepared to let inflation go up much to even 2% and above before thinking of hiking rates. But having said that, I think we may be underpricing a bit of inflation due to the fact that if you look at, for instance, over the past year, food inflation has been pretty high, and a lot of these supply side disruptions may also weigh on inflation going forward. And after subdued years, the base effects are likely to turn and we may start to see higher inflation going forward. So I think to position, I think we should always watch out for instance, the news ahead to see whether there's any changes in the central bank stance. And at the same time, I think also watching out for instance, how the U.S. economic data turns out to see whether the current downtrend still persists or there's some rebound on the cards for the U.S.
Jeff Ang, Senior Treasury Strategist for HL Bank, thank you so much for joining us today on Money FM 89.3 to share with us your thoughts and sentiments on China's GDP data and Singapore's NOD X figures for the month of December. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these times and a pleasant rest of the 2021 ahead. Happy New Year once again, sir.
Happy New Year. Thank you, JP.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.